North of the equator, the longest night of the year is December 21st. But every child knows the longest night of the year is December 24th. That's really a rough night. It's waiting for Christmas morning. Well, I remember one particular Christmas time, and it was probably a week or so before Christmas Day. I just started snooping around in the closets for Christmas stuff. For some reason, I figured out that Santa stored my Christmas presents at my house instead of at the North Pole. So I got to snooping real good, and I hit the jackpot. There in the back of one of the closets was all the Christmas presents, and they weren't wrapped. So I saw what I was getting, and I was so excited, and I was holding it and looking at everything, and then I felt a tap on the shoulder. The old tap on the shoulder. You don't want to get the tap on the shoulder. And it was Mom. And she looked upset. So I put the gifts back, and she reached for them and grabbed them and handed it to me and said, "Here, you might as well take them now." I said, "Oh, no, I want you to wrap them and put them under the tree, and I want to open them on Christmas Day." And she said, "Well, you've already ruined the surprise." We like surprises at Christmas time. And that's exactly what God did for us. The biggest surprise of all, He sent His Son, wrapped in human flesh, to come to this earth for us. He chose the exact perfect time. It tells us in Galatians 4. "But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons." When the fullness of time had come, when the perfect, exact moment was ready, God sent some angels to announce, "Christmas is here." I want to read a passage of scripture that Ryan read earlier, right in the middle, and that's going to be my text that I want to focus on tonight. "But the angel said to them," out of Luke 2, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests." From this passage, I think there's four things that I want to highlight that's the perfect time for Christmas. And the first is, it's a time to release my fears. We see that in verse 10. So let me ask you tonight, what are you worried about? Your health, your children, your finances, your marriage, the future, the virus. And so the first thing that the angel said was, don't be afraid. Chill out. Stop worrying. And I would think, well, that's easy for you to say. You live in heaven with God. I live down here on earth where there's lots of problems. Some people aren't just afraid of all those things that I listed and more, but some people are afraid of God. And I think we should be afraid of God in a healthy sense, like an awe and a reverence for how mighty and powerful God is. But I mean it in a paranoid sense. Some people are afraid of God, and that causes them to pull away from God and be distant from Him. So God came as a baby, so we wouldn't be afraid of Him, because nobody's afraid of a baby. Well, unless they're crying uncontrollably and you don't have a lot of baby experience, maybe then. But He came as one of us to relate to us and to calm our fears. So if you have some fears tonight, Christmas time, Christmas Eve, is a perfect time to hand those fears over to God and say, "Lord, would you calm my fears and help me to turn them into prayers?" Christmas time is also a time to be joyful. We also see that in verse 10. The reality of Christmas is, it isn't about Santa and Rudolph and Frosty and the Scrooge and the Grinch. It's about Jesus. It isn't about pretty lights and decorations and Christmas trees and festivities and mistletoe and all that stuff. It's about Jesus. The angel said, I bring you great news, or good news of great joy. Christianity is good news, which produces great joy. Now, if we're honest, we don't always at least appear joyful. Sometimes we look like we're sucking on lemons. But Christmas time can also be stressful with traffic and long lines and shopping, and you shouldn't meet because of government mandates type of stuff. And we don't always represent God well. Sometimes our behavior, we don't live up to what we should live up to. And sometimes we emphasize the rules and regulations and laws rather than the life and freedom that is found in Scripture. That's not good news, all that stuff. But historically, the good news meant an announcement that the Roman generals were victorious in battle. And that was good news that was announced to all the people. But the angel announced good news that a Savior has come, that God loves you. He wants you to be with Him forever. He wants you to know Him. And that is certainly good news. God sent His Son as a human being to relate to you. Reminds me of the story of a little boy who was frightened at night because there was a storm. And he called out to his parents and they said, it'll be okay. God is with you. And the little boy responded, but I need someone with skin on. And that's just what God did. He put skin on and came and became one of us so we could know Him and relate to Him. John 3:16. For God loved the world so much that He sent His one and only, His unique Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. Every human being is searching for something. What they really need and want ultimately is God. Not success or more money or a new mate, but God. God sent His Son so that we could be in tune with Him and relate to Him. But know this, God's been looking for you too. He sent His Son to bring you to Him. In fact, it became the most important moment in history. In fact, we date our calendars B.C. and A.D. because of Jesus' birth. But then the truth is, we're all going to die someday. And that's not good news. We're going to spend more time in eternity than we do here. Think about it. We only spend, 70, 80, 90 years here? But we're going to spend eternity somewhere. We prepare so hard for our retirement, which lasts, 30 years if we're lucky? And then we don't prepare for eternity. That seems very foolish to me because it's certain we're going to die. So we need to prepare for eternity. So Christmas is a time that tells us we can be joyful because of the good news that God has sent a Savior. And notice it says it's good news for all people, for Americans and Africans and Asians and Europeans, for white and black and brown, for Muslim and Hindu and Buddhist, short and tall, skinny and fat, young and old, everyone. It's not about religion. It's not about trying to be good enough. It's about a relationship. It's not about trying harder, but simply receiving what He has done. And that's really good news that produces great joy. Something else Christmas is time for. A time to receive forgiveness. In verse 11, the angel announced, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. God sent a Savior, not a politician, not a salesman, not a doctor, not a rich businessman, not a general, but a Savior to you. All of you who need forgiveness. But why? Heaven is a perfect place. There's no sin there. There's only God and perfect spiritual beings and perfect humans are there. But if you've sinned, you can't go there because the Bible says that if you're in the flesh, you're not able to attain to the kingdom of God. But you may think today, well, I'm a good person. You might be good, but you're not perfect. And in heaven, there aren't any good people. only perfected people. So God solved that problem for us by sending his son because he was perfect and he saved us from our sin. I like to think of the analogy of a lifeguard. Someone, a lifeguard sees somebody out there, whether it's in the ocean or the swimming pool, and they're drowning, they're going under, and they're popping up and they're thrashing. So the lifeguard jumps in and swims right up to the person, but they don't grab a hold of them immediately and swim back to shore with them. They paddle in the water and they wait. Because if they grab them too soon, that person in their fear might pull the lifeguard under too, and they both would die. So the lifeguard waits, and then when the person finally tires out and begins to sink, that's when the lifeguard grabs them and swims them to shore and saves them. And that's what a lot of folks try to do. They're thrashing around. They're trying this, that, and the other to save themselves instead of just giving up. Giving up trying to save themselves and let Jesus save them. Just fall into his arms and let him rescue you. Let him swim you to shore. Just receive it. It's all by grace. You don't deserve it, but take it. It's a free gift. It'll give you a fresh start, a clean slate, a do-over. Receive forgiveness tonight. Christmas is a time to receive forgiveness again. And Christmas is a time to rebuild relationships. It says in verse 14, and on earth, peace to men. God wants you to have peace. And peace is such a needed commodity in the world right now. There's so much anxiety and depression, really. We need peace with God and others. Christmas is a time of goodwill and giving. But sometimes the holidays bring more conflict than peace. We get together with relatives that really we don't like and we didn't choose. We have grudges and grievances against those people. We say it's all their fault. We have a lot of hurts. The key is, what am I going to do with those hurts? How I respond will determine if I'm joyful or not. Either I'm going to choose hatred or choose forgiveness. I'm going to choose to keep on resenting them or love them. And the choice is yours and mine. Christmas is a time to forgive because you've been forgiven. Let go of the grudges. Well, I can't forgive them after what they've done to me. I understand you really can't in your own strength. That's why God sent Jesus to enable you, to empower you to forgive. Do I forgive them because they deserve it? No. You forgive them because they need it. And you need to forgive. Otherwise, we stay miserable and separated from God. In Matthew 6:14-15, it says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Who do you need to reach out to tonight? Contact them. Let me read this little story from Lars Vanderpost. He says there were two brothers. The oldest was strong, tall, intelligent, and an excellent athlete. He went away to a private school where he excelled. His younger brother was a hunchback. But he had a great gift. He had a marvelous singing voice. Eventually, the younger brother joined the older at school. On one day, a mob of students gathered around the younger brother, jeered at him, then tore off his shirt to reveal his hunchback. The older brother heard the commotion and watched out of his room window. The younger brother saw him looking. Instead of defending his brother, he turned from the window. He betrayed his brother by what he failed to do. The younger brother was never the same again. He quit school, kept to himself, and never sang again, even when alone. The older brother moved away. But one night, lying down and gazing up at the stars, he remembered what he had done to his younger brother. He knew he'd never have peace until he asked for his brother's forgiveness. So he made the long journey home to his father's house. The brothers talked into the night, the elder one confessing his guilt and remorse. They cried together, embraced, and the breach between them was healed. Something else happened that night. The older brother had fallen asleep when he was startled awake by the sound of a full, rich tenor voice soaring into the night. It was the beautiful voice of his younger brother who was singing again. Is there someone whose voice is silent because you need to go and ask their forgiveness? Go, that they might sing again. Our relationship with others is so important because it impacts our relationship with God. Do you want to be closer to God? You won't be until you make it right with others. We're going to take communion in just a couple minutes here. This would be a good time right now to say, Lord, forgive me for what I have against my brother and help me to forgive them. Ultimately, Christmas is a time to meet Jesus. And that's the true meaning of Christmas. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity. And looking out here at the congregation tonight, I'm pretty sure you've made commitments to Christ. But I want to give you that opportunity just in case that you need to receive Jesus as your Savior. I'm glad you came tonight. And I encourage you to take the gift, not that's under the Christmas tree, but the gift that's on the cross, Jesus. Would you bow your heads? And I'm going to pray and just see if there's anyone here tonight very quickly that needs to receive a Savior. Lord, we are so thankful and grateful that you came. Where would we be without the gift of Jesus, our Savior? Thank you that he came to save us from our sin, and that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just and will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Tonight, if there's anyone here, and just quickly raise your hand and put it back down, you say, I need to know Jesus is my Savior. He will forgive you all your sins and make you clean and pure in his sight. Well, thank you, Father, that you came and you saved us because we put our faith and trust in you and not in our works, not in our good deeds. It's good to do those things, but they don't save us. Only you do, and belief and faith in you. We thank you now that we can come to the communion table, as it were, as we hold in our hands the elements that represent your body and your blood. We receive them also now in Jesus' name. Amen.